Answering Mormons Questions by Bill McKeever and Eric Johnson deals with 36 commonly asked questions by your LDS friends and neighbors. It's a great resource for Christians who want to share their faith with friends and loved ones. Be sure to pick up your copy today at your favorite Christian bookstore. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. For the past couple of days, we've been going over an article that was on the web. It was on KUTV.com. That is the official website of Channel 2 here in the Salt Lake area. What caught our attention, naturally, was the headline, "Wall Appears Tagged with Graffiti Reading Joseph Smith Was a Pedophile." And included in this article was a photograph of a wall that said just that, Joseph Smith was a pedophile. And in yesterday's show, we started off by defining exactly what does the dictionary say a pedophile is. It's not only someone who has had sexual relations with a young child, it's also an individual who seems to be sexually attracted to young children. And I would say that Joseph Smith seems to fit that category. So when this person, whoever it is, and believe me, folks, we are not advocating vandalism to get your point across. As I mentioned in the first show, the statement itself, I would say, seems to be correct. Now, I'm sure any Latter-day Saints listening to me right now saying that are horrified because they would never want to admit that their prophet could be classified in such a way. And if that horrifies you, I'm glad to hear that. But my next question would be is, then why would you defend him? And as we've been talking about in this series, many Latter-day Saints do tend to defend Joseph Smith. And as we've been bringing out, they would like to tell us that, well, it was common to marry at a very young age, and marrying teenagers was not all that unusual during the time of Joseph Smith. But as we brought out, that just is not true. I made mention to a paper that was done by Michael R. Haynes for the National Bureau of Economic Research. If you want to check it out yourself, it's NBER. R.org. The paper was titled Long-Term Marriage Patterns in the United States from Colonial Times to the Present. The evidence presented by Mr. Haynes certainly doesn't support this notion that somehow it was normal for first-time marriages among females in the United States during Joseph Smith's time period to be as young as the early teens. And this article even admits that Joseph Smith was, in fact, married to a 14-year-old and makes reference to a Gospel Topics essay that can be found to this day on LDS.org, where they do admit Joseph Smith not only married teenagers, but also married married women. That certainly is not the norm either. But yet, why is it that Mormons tend to want to turn a blind eye to this kind of behavior on the part of their founding prophet? Now, in yesterday's show, we cited Richard Bushman, who is a Mormon historian, who admits that, yes, there probably were sexual relations going on with several of these plural wives. So the argument that Smith only had relations that were non-sexual really can't be proved. It's kind of hard to prove it either way. You have to listen carefully to what some of these women had to say in order to draw your conclusions. I know some Mormons want to argue that he didn't have any sexual relations at all. What we brought out yesterday, though, showed from the Book of Mormon that it would make no sense to be engaged in plural marriage unless there were sexual relations going on, according to Jacob 2 in the Book of Mormon. But it just seems odd to me the great lengths that many Latter-day Saints will go to try and protect Joseph Smith in this area. But when you look at some of the statements that Mormon historians themselves have made, I don't think this assumption that Smith's relationship with these women was purely platonic settles the question. It certainly doesn't. Now, Todd Compton, a Mormon historian, wrote a groundbreaking work called In Sacred Loneliness, and he talks about some of the women that Joseph Smith married, and he does not hide the fact that many of Joseph Smith's plural marriages were, in fact, teenagers. And you have to keep in mind, folks, Joseph Smith is married at this time, and he's also in his 30s when he's marrying many of these women. That is quite a disparity, and it had to have been odd even back then, as it is odd today, because of the fact that Joseph Smith wants to keep these relationships secret. He knows he's doing something that is wrong, and as we brought out yesterday, being married to more than one wife even violated Illinois law, where Joseph Smith lived at the time.
Let's consider what Compton has to say, because, again, he's a scholar who wrote a book that is fully documented. He goes through each of the 33 plural wives of Joseph Smith and gives a great history of each one.
And we might mention, since that book was written, The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has come out in this Gospel Topics essay that I mentioned earlier and admitted that Smith may have had as many as 40 wives.
Let me just read to you from the prologue. This is an overview of Joseph Smith's wives before he gets into each of the chapters detailing each marriage that Joseph Smith had. This is what he says on page 11 in this prologue. He said, Joseph's marriages undoubtedly had a sexual dimension. So then he goes into the ages of Joseph Smith's wives, and he writes, in the group of Smith's well-documented wives, 11, 33%, were 14 to 20 years old when they married him. Nine wives, 27%, were 21 to 30 years old. Eight wives, 24%, were in Smith's own peer group, ages 31 to 40. In the group aged 41 to 50, there is a substantial drop-off, two wives, or 6%, and three, or 9%, in the group 51 to 60. So what do we see? Fewer wives as you go into the future decades. And so the younger wives is what Joseph Smith was looking for, and this is what Compton says. The teenage representation is the largest, though the 20-year and 30-year groups are comparable, which contradicts the Mormon folk wisdom that sees the beginnings of polygamy as an attempt to care for older, unattached women. These data suggest that sexual attraction was an important part of the motivation for Smith's polygamy. In fact, the command to multiply and replenish the earth was part of the polygamy theology. So non-sexual marriage was generally not in the polygamous program as Smith taught it.
So that would show that he did, in fact, fit both of those definitions that you brought out yesterday, that it's not only an individual who's attracted sexually to children and maybe doesn't act on that attraction, but then also is attracted and does act on that attraction. And so that's why we're bringing this up. This article on KUTV.com, this comes out on December 31st, 2018. The question, of course, is, did Joseph Smith fit the accusation that was spray painted on this wall? And clearly, from what Compton has said so far, it seems like he certainly did. Now, was that the proper way to get that message out, by vandalizing a public wall? No, it wasn't. But I'm sure there are many Latter-day Saints that would just want to disregard the accusation as if it wasn't true at all.
Now, there are some people today who would say that Joseph Smith did not have sex within that realm, but certainly in eternity they're going to have that. And this is what Compton writes on page 14 to deal with that issue. He says, some, and he mentions Emma Smith as being among the some, conclude that Joseph's marriages were for eternity only, not for time, thus without earthly sexuality. But many of Joseph's wives affirmed that they were married to him for eternity and time, with sexuality included. He gives an example. Eliza Roxy Snow, in her autobiography, wrote that, quote, I was sealed to the prophet Joseph Smith for time and eternity in accordance with the celestial law of marriage, which God has revealed, end quote. Latter-day Saints aren't thinking in eternity that you're going to have platonic relationships with these women that are going to be in your kingdom, that you're going to have to populate your world. There's going to be sex there. Why wouldn't there be for earthly polygamy? I think a lot of people think polygamy was made so that you could take care of those widows and the older women. But what was Joseph Smith doing? The vast majority of his wives were under 30 years of age.
I've heard that very argument at the Beehive House, Brigham Young's home in downtown Salt Lake City. I had a guide actually say that the reason why Brigham Young engaged in plural marriage was to take care of the many widows that were the result of the persecution period when, as she believed were killed, that it was necessary to marry these women in order to take care of them because so many men were killed during the persecution period. First of all, folks, there weren't all that many males that were actually killed during this time period. Now, certainly one death is one too many. That should never be a part of our history. Sadly, it was. The Mormons were, in fact, persecuted. But when I looked into this, I can't find this inordinate amount of men that were killed during the persecution period. Yes, many of them lost their homes. Many of them had to move and flee from the neighborhoods in which they had established. But when it comes to actual deaths being killed during the persecution period, the number is really relatively small. But let's look at this. Joseph Smith, in fact, did want to keep what he was doing secret, which tells us he knows he's doing something wrong. I have in my hands a book written by Richard Van Wagner called Sidney Rigdon, A Portrait of Religious Excess. On page 295, he talks about this secrecy, and in particular, he refers to Nancy Rigdon, who was the daughter of Sidney Rigdon, who was Joseph Smith's right-hand man during this time period. And he says, the general consensus, however, is that upon Nancy's arrival to this printing office, Smith greeted her, ushered her into a private room, then locked the door. After swearing her to secrecy, wrote George W. Robinson, Smith announced, quote, his affection for her for several years. Now, she's in her mid-teens at this point. And this is for several years, and wished that she should be his. The Lord was well pleased with this matter. There was no sin in it whatever. But if she had any scruples of conscience about the matter, he would marry her privately. Now, this is an older man certainly taking advantage of a young teenage girl. The fact is, Nancy Rigdon rebuffs Joseph Smith. She's pretty offended by what Joseph Smith is doing here. And Van Wagner writes, but Nancy, a buxom and winsome girl, according to one account, was not cooperative. Despite her tender age, she did not hesitate to express herself. The prophet's seductive behavior shocked her. She rebuffed him in a flurry of anger. He goes on in that same paragraph to say, incredulous, the feisty Nancy countered that if she ever got married, she would marry a single man or none at all, which tends to prove she knew he was married to Emma at this time. Grabbing her bonnet, she ordered the door opened or she would raise the neighbors. Van Wagner says the prophet, who habitually used language as much to conceal as to express, began a letter to Nancy with the cheerful assertion, happiness is the object and design of our existence. After a brief discussion on keeping the commandments, the message cut to the chase. Now listen to what Joseph Smith says to Nancy. That which is wrong under one circumstance may be and often is right under another. It certainly does sound like a manipulation tactic. Now, if Joseph Smith was alive today, would he not be known at least as a sexual predator?
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism.